At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money, though.
Hey!
Raindrops.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, actually, it would be Lance Zierlein and Eric Layden today with you. Raheel's going to come in an hour, and we will get it done. Joining us right now is a very special guest, somebody who I've wanted to have on the show for a while, dating back to the other radio station. And he played Doug Stamper, the president's right-hand man on House of Cards. He is a huge Atlanta Falcons fan. That Super Bowl wasn't his favorite moment. Huge Braves fan. And now is on a show called Long Road Home that's on Nat Geo that has it's airing right now. And many of you, I'm sure, you've seen the commercials for it. And that would be Michael Kelly Jr. Michael, first of all, welcome into the show. We really appreciate you taking time to join me and Eric today.
Thanks for having me. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. It's going good. So when Eric, when we first did our fantasy football league last year, and Eric told me, yeah, I should get Michael Kelly in, see if he wants to get a team or co-own with me, and yada yada. He's really into football, really a Falcon fan. I did some research on you because I'd been watching you on House of Cards, and I'd seen you on some other stuff as well. And I didn't realize, I mean, you're in pretty, like Eric is to Houston, you're kind of that way with Atlanta sports.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, I was born in Philly, but I've lived, all my growing up was in Atlanta. And when I moved to New York like 20 plus years ago, it was like, you know, everyone's like, dude, you gotta become a Yankees fan. You gotta become a Jets or a Giants. I'm like, no, I don't. Why would I do that? Like, I don't care where I live, man. That was the team that I knew growing up. So for me, I just, you know, plus I always just hated the New York teams.
Yeah, exactly.
Uncle Mikey, dude, good to talk to you, man. It's been a minute. Congrats on everything. You're crushing it. Like I always knew you would. We got to know each other a little bit during Generation Kill, spent 7 months in Africa together. An amazing experience. But talking sports here, Houston and its fans are accustomed to brutal losses that haunt you. You guys with the Falcons, I can't remember if you made it down to Houston for the game or not. I feel like you did, but that loss was treacherous. How did it sit with you, man?
It still hasn't. That's something that'll never leave you, man. You just can't get over it. You know, I remember, like, I wasn't there. I ended up not going, family reasons, but it was for me, like, that first play of the second half, I was just like, you know, you saw it come out.
We got it. We caught you. You're good.
You know, with Bill Belichick, I mean, and Tom Brady, I don't think we're ever going to see anything to rival their accomplishments or their level of talent. I don't think we'll ever see it again. And you know, there's nobody who makes better adjustments. And I just think that our defense gave 110%, and they were beat up.
You caught yourself.
You
caught yourself. But you know what? We were all saying the same thing from the stands that you just said on the radio. I was at the game. I was at the game, and I left to beat the media rush out. I'm the guy that left the Super Bowl, and I missed this. And I watched the end of it in a Hilton's downtown with a bunch of Patriots. I mean, it couldn't have been a worse scenario for me. I left the most incredible ending to a Super Bowl game ever. I missed it from a historic standpoint, and I'm a sports talk host. And I had to watch it with a bunch of Patriots fans screaming at Raja the whole time, "You can suck that!" yes, Roger. And that's a woman telling him to suck things.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, please don't let them come back and win. Please don't let them come back and win. And it was unbelievable. And if look, I've been in a oh, no scenario. Eric knows. As Houston fans, we're always in that scenario or in that mode. You had to look at the all-time – Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and you had to be sitting there thinking, oh, my God, please, Kyle Shanahan, just eat the clock. Please don't try to be a genius. And he tried to be a genius.
I think, and it's easy to sit here and dissect the game, you know, a year later. But I mean, I did like what Shanahan said afterwards. He was like, look, he's like, sure, yeah, I could have run the ball. He's like, but I didn't want to all of a sudden start changing how we got this far. You know, we got this far because we kept our foot on the gas the whole game, every game. So, you know, it's easy to sit here and be like, oh my God, why didn't he run it? Yeah, but I did understand what he was saying. That being said, late, dude.
Yeah, I will say this, having just won a World Series, watching the Astros, our team, win a World Series. Thank you. It does take some of the sting away. You know, when you get to finally celebrate that.
You forget about that other stuff. But I don't. But how's it for you? Because you're a Braves fan and you won a World Series with a great team. But there was a lot of getting there. Like, how do you remember those Braves runs? Hall of Fame pitchers, three of them, and yet one title. Is like, I always felt like Braves fans weren't really that happy with just one.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I did get one in my lifetime, and that feels really good. And I think, you know, like Houston, I think Atlanta is going about it the right way in rebuilding the team. All the cheating and whatnot aside, and losing the 12 prospects, that didn't hurt.
Firing your own GM.
But I think that they're going about it the right way. I think I will get to see another one. I think that they are Houston 3 years ago now, 4 years ago, when you just got to go to rebuild. I like the direction we're going. But in all honesty, like the ones that we didn't win, there's only one that we should have won. And Chipper put it best. He was like, you know, all those times that we made it, all those times that we won the division, 14 straight division titles, that'll never be broken in modern baseball again. That, to me, he said, the only time that we were the better team and lost is when we lost to the Yankees. You know, and I tend to agree, man. They made it on a lot of grit, and yeah, they had those three pitchers, but we all know it takes more than that. And, you know, the one time that they should have had one more. So I'm not too pissed about that. And it was such a fun run with seeing those three guys pitch, man. That was amazing. Amazing.
Mikey, flipping over to entertainment, You guys started House at a time when Netflix was kind of just getting off the ground. I remember, you know, it was really like the first show over there. And I remember talking to you on the phone.
How long ago? When did it start? 11?
It was like six years ago?
Yeah. And I just remember saying, like, you know, how's this going to change the game? You know, like, are they going to release all of them at once? And I just wonder from your perspective, like, being a part of something like that starts this kind of craze and trend of streaming television, like how you think that's kind of changed the game?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I remember, you know, like you were just saying, Eric, when we were working on it, Fincher showed me a rough cut of one when we were still filming, and you know, my manager had been like, oh, how's it going? And I was like, I said, Fincher just showed me an episode. I said, this show is really good, B. I was like, this is incredible television. I don't know if anyone's ever going to see it, but we're making something special. You know, because that's where you got your DVDs, right? And they were doing some streaming, but not original content. And I didn't even, you know, I'm not a techie dude, Eric can tell you that. But it's like, to see now how that completely changed the landscape. I mean, I remember it was either Kate Mara or Constance Zimmer we were having lunch, and one of them said, we were all eating lunch together, and one of them was like, do you think we'll be eligible for the Emmys? And I was like, I don't know. I mean, is it TV? But we didn't even know what it was, you know? And now to see, you know, Hulu and Amazon and just how it completely changed the landscape of television is what we consider to be TV, it's cool, man. You know, my kids are 8 and 5 now, and to tell them one day, hey, man, you know, you watch TV? Like, we started that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it's interesting, too, because now I'm back, you know, and I've been on shows that were written in that. You know, you write for that. And now being back on a show on History Channel where there's commercials, it's really interesting because I get scripts now and I can see act outs. You know, whereas
what does
like,
that mean?
Well, an act out, in other words, like they have to actually write. You know how something always happens before a commercial? There's
you
always
mean like
a
on
big
every soap opera ever.
Yeah, but even good cable television, damn it, I'm not on a soap opera.
Okay,
but even on good cable television, you still have to keep people through a commercial break.
Yeah,
that's something writers have to think about. So they have to hit a hard act out to make sure that you keep viewers through a commercial, right? Even though most viewers are going to record and DVR, you don't have to do that on a show that streams. Like there is, you know, you can slow burn all the way through the episode.
Yeah, that's
and,
a good point.
And even on, if you didn't have commercials, you're usually trying to, in an episode really high to keep your viewership. But on a show on Netflix like House of Cards, you can really like take your time and dig in because somebody can click right onto the next episode.
Yeah, well, they're going to watch their captive audience anyway.
Right. Go ahead, Mike.
And it gives the writers total artistic freedom, you know. And Netflix and MRC, you know, the way that they gave us this order was 26 episodes. Here's however 100 million, whatever they gave us. I don't know. I don't remember the number now, but give us 26 episodes of great television, and the writers could write these, you know. Like you said, not having to write for anything other than tell a story and let it burn over two seasons. Like, that's an incredible gift to get as a writer, especially with our shows. Many of them are playwrights, you know? So you could really just, giving that artistic freedom to the creatives, I think, lends itself to great content. And I think that a lot of people not just took the binging model from Netflix, but took that, hey, man, turn it over to the people who want to make the art, you know, and the executives are taking a step back. And that's when you get great content.
I can tell you, I mean, I just, from a character standpoint, too, that it was one of the rare characters where you really got to develop, okay, you had the hard exterior and you had the cool, tough demeanor. But then you got to see the layers to the character with the drinking problem and the demons he was battling and the kind of toggling between, you know, bad guy, but he's working for a bad guy, and you're the arm of the bad guy, but you're not really a bad guy, but then you're willing to do stuff anyway. Like, we got to see moments with your character that was like that. The character now, right now, you have Long Road Home. People can check it out on Nat Geo. How different? So this is it's based in Iraq, and there is an ambush, and you've got to try to get out of there. And it's granted, there's the storyline's much bigger than that, but how? In terms of, is there a challenge going from what you had been doing to where you are now? How different is your approach to the role?
I mean, I approach everything much in the same way, in that I read it, and either I identify with this character or I don't. You know, like it's something that's going to come to me or it's not. And this man, I had played a version of him in the job that Eric and I had done together on Generation Kill. You know. These men who can stay calm no matter what happens and be readers no matter what is going on, bullets flying around them. None of that stuff matters, you know. It's that strength of the character. And jumping between them, like I said, as long as I identify with the material, jumping between things is not as hard for me as say it was to actually live on Fort Hood. In army barracks, that was kind of hard for me. and I say that jokingly because I did love my time there. But you know, making those life adjustments, you know, when you're an actor and you know you're certain, you typically when you travel, you stay in a nice hotel and nice restaurants, and you know, going and living like we did in Africa as well. Sometimes where it's just like you're just. Oh, you mean tea and biscuits are lunch? You know, you go from living pretty well to living like on nothing, and it's cool, and it helps you get into the character, and it helps you build those things. But I'll sidetrack there. But I don't mind. I love it. You know, when I was doing Generation Kill with Eric in Africa, I was doing another film. It was a period piece that I was flying to LA and back and forth from Africa on that one, and you know, you get so into it that it's not that hard.
You're on also, we know you got to go, but you're also on an episode of Black Mirror. So when you have House of Cards, which when we get off the line with you, I want to discuss how that really played into the cord cutting generation, because I think that was one of the conduits to the cord cutting, which plays into the sports world right now with some of the TV ratings. And then you look at Black Mirror, which I think is one of the most incredible shows out there today. I think people look back at your career, and granted, that was an episode, but since every episode lives individually, I think some of the most entertaining and some of the shows that are going to shape our future in terms of entertainment are happening right now on Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. I mean, this is where a lot of it's happening right now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think, you know, as an actor, if you just trust your, you know, obviously you trust your team, but you also, you trust that in the end you want to work with filmmakers you admire, showrunners you admire, writers you admire, and actors who you want to collaborate with. You kind of stick to that and you're in a position where you don't have to do one for the money, then you're in a good place. You know, I did one for the money on my resume, and it was for $15,000 one year, cause I had no money. I made like 10 grand on The Sopranos that year. And I was like, B, I got to make some money this year. There was this offer to do this terrible horror film thing. And I took it, and he's like, begged me not to. You know, and now, thankfully, I don't have to do that. There might come a time again in my life where I have to do something for the money, but right now I don't, and that sets you up to make great decisions as an actor.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we've all been there in that position, and like you said, I mean, you make good decisions, and usually things fall into place. Mike, I know you got to go. I appreciate you being here. You're one of the good guys, a guy I always root for, and couldn't be more stoked for you the way everything's going, and hopefully get to see you in person soon.
You too, brother, man. I feel the exact same way about you, man. You keep kicking it.
Will do, man.
I caught myself again. How about that?
There you go. Yeah, you can, that's good. You're getting good at this.
Yeah. Hey, come on our podcast sometime. You can
let it
fly. Come on our podcast, and you can say everything you actually thought during the Super Bowl. You don't have to worry about
it. Set it up, Eric. That'll be fun. I can just rant.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Have fun with the family. Tell Karen hello, man.
All right, man. Everyone, right. Happy holidays.
All right, man. Be good.
That's Michael Kelly Jr., and his show out right now is Long Road Home on Nat Geo. If you never had a chance to watch House of Cards, start on season one and roll, because it's an incredible show. And I do think it led to some of the cord cutting. We'll talk about that here when we come back in a second. It's 8:21 here on The Bench.